powered by Righteous Media.
Welcome to Independent Americans. Welcome to a special episode 271. I'm your host, Paul Rykoff. If you didn't watch the State of the Union, I got you. If you did watch the State of the Union, here's a uniquely independent take. And after the State of the Union, especially, is a time to stay vigilant.
Now, it's we who face an unprecedented moment in the history of the Union. And yes, my purpose tonight is to wake up the Congress and alert the American people that this is no ordinary moment either. Not since President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault at home as they are today. What makes our moment rare is that freedom and democracy are under attack at both at home and overseas at the very same time. Overseas, Putin of Russia is on the march, invading Ukraine and sowing chaos throughout Europe and beyond. If anybody in this room thinks Putin will stop at Ukraine, I assure you he will not. But Ukraine can stop Putin. Ukraine can stop Putin if we stand with Ukraine and provide the weapons that needs to defend itself.
I've been a guest at the State of the Union twice, most recently in 2014 as the guest of my home senator, Kirsten Gillibrand, to focus on veterans issues. She brought me in there, I sat in the gallery, and it was an unforgettable experience. The other time I went was as the guest of the Speaker of the House, then Nancy Pelosi. Normally, the State of the Union is a civics lesson and lots of pageantry and performance. Normally, it doesn't really move the needle, but it always gets high ratings, close to football and American Idol and things that aren't normally about politics. And last night was different. Last night, it mattered. Voters, especially independent Americans, were deeply and rightfully concerned that Biden's too old. And like it or not, it's what everyone was watching. And last night, we all saw for ourselves. And here's my quick take. It was good and appropriate for Biden to lead off the State of the Union with Ukraine. And it was a bit surprising. It's the fight of our time, and we must help win it. America must stand with Ukraine. It was the right leadoff. Then he went right into January 6th, the threat to our democracy, the threat of domestic violence, the threat of extremist politics, the American insurgency, all the right next priorities to lead off this State of the Union. They are the biggest issues, the issues that should be nonpartisan. Then he shifted into stuff that was more partisan and more divisive. Like it or not, Roe and COVID and the economy are divisive issues. Then he switched over to his massive, unprecedented, historic infrastructure bill. Biden's infrastructure bill and the implementation is the real deal. I think it's one of the biggest, most overdue, and most bipartisan wins for America in a generation. And it may end up being the single most significant part of his presidency and his legacy. For generations, bridges, roads, and tunnels will remain because of this push. It's one area that Biden legitimately doesn't get enough credit for. But, like with most things, it's an area that he and the Democrats are not great at communicating. But overall, this was a good night for communication. It was a very good, very well-written, very smart speech. Now, the delivery could have been stronger. If you don't think Biden's showing his age, you're probably a die-hard Democrat. But as someone, and an independent, that badly wants him to win, I was rooting hard for him not to run out of gas. And he didn't. He drank his coffee, he ate his Wheaties, and he was the highest energy version of himself, which is still not a super high-energy person. But for him, it was pretty good. He talked about other things that are important. The State of the Union is always a laundry list, but sometimes that laundry list has really critical things on it, including public pre-K and 3K, something that he's supported, and something that Democrats have actually successfully executed here in New York, which I think is fantastic. Now, if you're somehow not convinced that public pre-kindergarten and 3K, three-kindergarten, is a smart thing, talk to any parent who's put a kid through it. Talk to me. If implemented nationally, it could be America's greatest, most transformative, highest return on investment policy since the original GI Bill, which contributed over $7 to the national economy for every dollar invested. America's first 3K generation could be our new greatest generation. And that includes my little guy, River, who's in pre-K right now. There was other good stuff. Finally, a president called in the State of the Union for the decriminalization of cannabis. That was a big deal. It's overdue, it's necessary, and it's overwhelmingly nonpartisan, especially among young people. Legalized cannabis is good policy and good politics. It's shocking that both parties haven't realized this sooner, but independents get it. And much more divisive. It took him a long time to get to the October 7th massacre and Hamas and Gaza and Israel, and especially to the Americans still being held hostage. It's something that most Americans have forgotten about, and the president, in my view, should have put further up. But the fact that he didn't focus on this stuff sooner is a reflection of the pressure and division in his own party, and sadly, the no-win politics of focusing on it. And late in the speech, almost at the end, he finally got to the massive, unprecedented, transformative expansion of VA care for vets via the PACT Act. It's something we've covered on this show for years, and especially in the last episode. This expansion of health care is a BFD, as Biden would say. A big fucking deal. And a nonpartisan and a very popular one, especially with independents. It would have been a good and smart move for Biden to put that up front in the speech, maybe even first. But the one issue we never heard about or hear about is Afghanistan, which last night truly became Forgottistan. And it was an issue that prompted an unanticipated interruption. That interruption was from a Gold Star father who was yelling at Biden during the State of the Union, and that man was Steve Nakui, father of Lance Corporal Kareem Nakui, one of the 13 American service members killed outside the airport in Kabul during the catastrophic withdrawal from Afghanistan. Abbey Gate, Abbey Gate, he was yelling, referencing where Kareem and other U.S. troops died in 2021. And our friend of the show, national security reporter Dan Lamont from the Washington Post, brought something else up on Twitter. He said, "I can't speak for all of this, but I can say that not only did Steve Nakui lose his son Kareem in the Abbey Gate disaster, Kareem's brother also died by suicide a year later at Kareem's memorial site." Context worth including. Very important context. And thanks to our friend Dan for highlighting it. It's an unimaginable tragedy for Steve Nakui and his family on top of an unimaginable tragedy. And Abbey Gate will forever be a low point for Biden, especially with service members and vets, and especially for me. And some service members and vets will never vote for him because of it. And the other issue that was going to determine whether or not people voted for him was his age. And he had a smart, crafty, well-done end to his speech by leaning into his age. He did it with humor and humility and a history lesson. Biden knows and is now recognizing that his age is the single biggest issue with many critical swing voters and with many independent Americans. And he took it head on. In the end, it was a good night for Biden. He pulled it off. He got through it. Overall, I think it's as good as it possibly could have gone for him. The headline for all of us who care about the future of our democracy and want him to win, and especially for Trump to lose, is, whew, he got through it, and he didn't die. which is kind of how he should feel every single day of this campaign, all the way until the election, and probably for the next 4 years afterward. But it was a good night for Biden. But this is still a very long road ahead. Strap in, folks. This is just round one. And now, more than ever, stakes is high. And after Biden, we all experienced Alabama Senator Katie Britt with the Republican response.
You know, this is where our family has tough conversations. It's where we make hard decisions. It's where we share the good, the bad, and the ugly of our days. It's where we laugh together. And it's where we hold each other's hands and pray for God's guidance. And many nights, to be honest, it's where Wesley and I worry. I know we're not alone. And so tonight, the American family needs to have a tough conversation, because the truth is, we're all worried about the future of our nation. The country we know and love seems to be slipping away, and it feels like the next generation will have fewer opportunities and less freedoms than we did.
This was something else. I mean, this was one of the fakest, most inauthentic, overacting political performances I've ever seen. She was literally in a kitchen, which is frankly pretty demeaning as far as I'm concerned, and she sounded like an actor playing a politician and doing it badly. It's like an episode of Veep or an SNL segment, and it probably will be soon. It was a definite contrast, which is going to be what 2024 is all about, the contrast between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And it's a contrast we're going to dig into at length and continue to focus on from an independent standpoint, as both men fight, scrap, and beg for the votes of 49% of Americans that declare themselves independent Americans. Because independent Americans are going to determine the outcome of this election. I hope you liked this special episode breaking down the State of the Union. If you did, please share it far and wide and give me some feedback. Let me know on social media what you thought of the State of the Union and what you think of my take. And invite others to declare their independence. Invite them to stay vigilant, because eternal vigilance is the price of freedom. And know that you're not alone in your vigilance. We are all vigilant, and we're all in this together throughout this wild and weird and stressful 2024 election for president. As always, big thanks to our Patreon members, and check out additional content, past episodes, merchandise, and more at independentamericans.us. And be sure to subscribe on every platform or wherever you're listening right now. I'm headed down to Texas now for South by Southwest. Look for me on social media and look for a new episode next week. Until then, I'm your host, Paul Rykoff. Thank you for listening. Down with Hamas, down with Putin, Slava Ukraine, and stay vigilant, America. Stay vigilant.
Powered by Righteous Media.